Foundation and Earth by Isaac Asimov. This book is read by Larry A. McKeever. The Story Behind the Foundation. On August 1, 1941, when I was a lad of 21, I was a graduate student in chemistry at Columbia University and had been writing science fiction professionally for 3 years. I was hastening to see John Campbell, editor of Astounding, to whom I had sold 5 stories by then. I was anxious to tell him a new idea I had for a science fiction story. It was to write a historical novel of the future, to tell the story of the fall of the Galactic Empire. My enthusiasm must have been catching, for Campbell grew as excited as I was. He didn't want me to write a single story. He wanted a series of stories, in which the full history of the 1,000 years of turmoil between the fall of the First Galactic Empire and the rise of the Second Galactic Empire was to be outlined. It would all be illuminated by the science of psychohistory that Campbell and I thrashed out between us. The first story appeared in the May 1942 Astounding, and the second story appeared in the June 1942 issue. They were at once popular, and Campbell saw to it that I wrote 6 more stories before the end of the decade. The stories grew longer, too. The first one was only 12,000 words long. 2 of the last 3 stories were 50,000 words apiece. By the time the decade was over, I had grown tired of the series, dropped it, and went on to other things. By then, however, various publishing houses were beginning to put out hardcover science fiction books. One such house was a small semi-professional firm, Gnome Press. They published my Foundation series in 3 volumes. Foundation, 1951, Foundation and Empire, 1952, and Second Foundation, 1953. The 3 books together came to be known as the Foundation Trilogy. The books did not do very well, for Gnome Press did not have the capital with which to advertise and promote them. I got neither statements nor royalties from them. In early 1961, my then-editor at Doubleday, Timothy Seldes, told me he had received a request from a foreign publisher to reprint the Foundation books. Since they were not Doubleday books, he passed the request on to me. I shrugged my shoulders. "Not interested, Tim. I don't get royalties on those books." Seldes was horrified and instantly set about getting the rights to the books from Gnome Press, which was by that time moribund. And in August of that year, the books, along with iRobot, became Doubleday property. From that moment on, the Foundation series took off and began to earn increasing royalties. Doubleday published the trilogy in a single volume and distributed them through the Science Fiction Book Club. Because of that, the Foundation series became enormously well-known. In the 1966 World Science Fiction Convention held in Cleveland, the fans were asked to vote on a category of the best all-time series. It was the first time, and so far the last, the category had been included in the nominations for the Hugo Award. The Foundation Trilogy won the award, which further added to the popularity of the series. Increasingly, fans kept asking me to continue the series. I was polite, but I kept refusing. Still, it fascinated me that people who had not yet been born when the series was begun had managed to become caught up in it. Doubleday, however, took the demands far more seriously than I did. They had humored me for 20 years, but as the demands kept growing in intensity and number, they finally lost patience. In 1981, they told me that I simply had to write another Foundation novel, and in order to sugarcoat the demand, offered me a contract at 10 times my usual advance. Nervously, I agreed. It had been 32 years since I had written a Foundation story, and now I was instructed to write one 140,000 words long, twice that of any of the earlier volumes, and nearly 3 times as long as any previous individual story. I reread the Foundation Trilogy, and taking a deep breath, dived into the task. The 4th book of the series, Foundation's Edge, was published in October 1982. And then a very strange thing happened. It appeared in the New York Times bestseller list at once. In fact, it stayed on that list for 25 weeks, much to my utter astonishment. Nothing like that had ever happened to me. Doubleday at once signed me up to do additional novels, and I wrote 2 that were part of another series, the robot novels. And then it was time to return to the Foundation. So I wrote Foundation and Earth, which begins at the very moment that Foundation's Edge ends. And that is the book you now hold. It might help if you glanced over Foundation's Edge just to refresh your memory, but you don't have to. Foundation and Earth stands by itself. I hope you enjoy it. Isaac Asimov, New York City, 1986. Part 1. Gaia. Chapter 1. The Search Begins. 1. Why did I do it? Asked Golan Trevise. It wasn't a new question. Since he had arrived at Gaia, he had asked it of himself frequently. He would wake up from a sound sleep in the pleasant coolness of the night and find the question sounding noiselessly in his mind like a tiny drumbeat. Why did I do it? Why did I do it? Now, though, for the first time, he managed to ask it of Dome, the Ancient of Gaia. Dome was well aware of Trevise's tension, for he could sense the fabric of the councilman's mind. He did not respond to it. Gaia must in no way ever touch Trevise's mind, and the best way of remaining immune to the temptation was to painstakingly ignore what he sensed. "Do what, Trev?" he asked. He found it difficult to use more than one syllable in addressing a person, and it didn't matter. Trevise was growing somewhat used to that. "The decision I made," said Trevise, "choosing Gaia as the future." "You were right to do so," said Dome, seated, his aged, deep-set eyes looking earnestly up at the man of the Foundation who was standing. "You say I am right," said Trevise impatiently. "I, we, Gaia, know you are. That's your worth to us. You have the capacity for making the right decision on incomplete data, and you have made the decision. You chose Gaia. You rejected the anarchy of a galactic empire built on the technology of the first Foundation, as well as the anarchy of a galactic empire built on the mentalics of the second Foundation. You decided that neither could be long stable. So you chose Gaia." "Yes," said Trevise. "Exactly. I chose Gaia, a superorganism, a whole planet with a mind and personality in common, so that one has to say, I, we, Gaia, as an invented pronoun to express the inexpressible." He paced the floor restlessly. "And it will become eventually Galaxia, a super-superorganism embracing all the swarm of the Milky Way." He stopped, turned almost savagely on Dome, and said, "I feel I'm right, as you feel it. But you want the coming of Galaxia, and so are satisfied with the decision. There's something in me, however, that doesn't want it, and for that reason I'm not satisfied to accept the rightness so easily. I want to know why I made the decision. I want to weigh and judge the rightness and be satisfied with it. Merely feeling right isn't enough. How can I know I am right? What is the device that makes me right?"
"I, we, Gaia, do not know how it is that you come to the right decision. Is it important to know that as long as we have the decision?"
"You speak for the whole planet, do you? For the common consciousness of every dewdrop, of every pebble, of even the liquid central core of the planet?"
"I do, and so can any portion of the planet in which the intensity of the common consciousness is great enough."
"And is all this common consciousness satisfied to use me as a black box? Since the black box works, Is it unimportant to know what is inside?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?